are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we continue our series entitled The Joy of Being Derrida Church, a look at our core values. Because as a family of faith, our life together is shaped by what we value. Our core values are the habits that define us. Our core values are about the ways the Lord Jesus wants our life together to be shaped. Again, as we've said over the past couple of weeks, this sermon series is meant to be a conversation within the whole congregation, and you'll notice in your bulletin this morning a small insert with three questions. Throughout this series, you are invited to respond to those questions. You're encouraged to jot down some thoughts each week as the Lord leads you. You can hand me that piece of paper or give me a call, send me an email, or set up an appointment to come see me, and I will make sure your thoughts get to the session. We would just really love to hear from you. Today, our core value is teaching and learning. The core value we're looking at today is teaching and learning. So let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit so that as your word is read and proclaimed, we might hear your voice speaking to us as a church family. Bind us together. Unify us in your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is just one verse. Now, I don't often do that because I really believe in reading sizable portions of scripture. I think it's just valuable that we read scripture publicly. But this one verse says so much and captures this core value of teaching and learning. Our text this morning, if you have your Bible with you, is Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Hear now the word of God. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's begin this morning by doing a quick, I think, fun experiment. I want to see if you can complete the lyrics to these well-known jingles. All right, I just got three. Here's the first one. See if you can complete this jingle. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Wow, that was pretty good. Right, you got it, Alka-Seltzer. Here's the second one. Give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that. Wow, okay, you guys are good. All right, so you got you're two for two. Here's the last one. And this one's older. This one has been around a while. So here we go. Let's see if you remember this one. I am stuck on Band-Aid, cause. Wow, okay, all right. Now, listen. I don't know about you, but I am amazed at how I can remember these jingles year after year, sometimes decade after decade, right? They're just like in my head. How do I remember all of these jingles. There are even times, I don't know if this is true for you, but there are even times when they just seem to pop into my head without me even trying to think about them. It's as if they occupy some space on the inside of me. Last week, I had a conversation about this message that I'm preaching today with my friend, Pastor Kate, at the Grove Church. And when I told her what the message was going to be about today, she told me a story. She told me a story about her mom giving a marketing presentation to a company in Canada. While she was giving her presentation, they asked her why marketing was important. And she said this. She said, "It's like buying real estate in a person's heart and mind." Isn't that powerful? She said, "It's like buying real estate in a person's heart and mind." Listen, friends, whatever occupies the real estate of your heart and mind has the power to influence and shape who you are. And if you can understand that, if you can understand just that principle, if you can understand that, then you can understand our reading this morning from the Bible. In Colossians 3:16, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." Let the message of Jesus occupy the real estate in your heart and mind. Let the message of Jesus occupy that real estate. And when you do, it will naturally and supernaturally, by the working of the Holy Spirit, it will naturally and supernaturally shape who you are and flow out of you into the lives of other people. And when we do this together, that is, let the message of Jesus occupy the real estate in our hearts and minds. When we do this together as a family of faith, it creates an environment, an atmosphere that is thick with the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Four, the church that is richly indwelt by the message of Jesus is a church that is rich in the presence and power of Jesus. The church that is richly indwelt by the message of Jesus is a church that is rich in the presence and power of Jesus. And so I want you to see today's core value, teaching and learning in light of Colossians 3:16. In our core value of teaching and learning, we are not saying that in our church family that some people are only teachers and others are only learners. No, in that core value, we are saying that we value being a church that is so rich in the message of Jesus that all of us, every single one of us, all of us, have something to share to strengthen, edify, and encourage our brothers and sisters. And that we can learn something from everyone in our church family. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let's take a closer look at what the apostle says here. Here once again, all of Colossians 3:16. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Let the message of Christ dwell. The message of Christ. Let's just look at that for a moment. The message of Christ. By the message of Christ, Paul is referring to the gospel of Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, and soon return. By the message of Christ, Paul is referring to who Jesus is and what he has done to defeat the powers of evil and to rescue us from sin and death. Now, of course, the whole Bible is about Jesus. So the message of Christ that Paul says here, he's talking about everything in the Bible and everything the Bible says about who Jesus is, that he is Messiah and the Most High God, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he's the King of Kings and the King of Glory, that he's the Lamb of God and the Light of the World, that he's the Bread of Life and the Prince of Peace, that he is God in the flesh, that he is the Creator, he's the Savior and the Lord. By the message of Christ, Paul is also referring to all that Jesus taught and all that Jesus said and all of his miraculous mighty works. And by the message of Christ, Paul is referring to Jesus' work of salvation, especially in his atoning death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. Paul, the apostle, is calling on the church in his day, and now in ours, to be unashamedly, uncompromisingly, and unapologetically focused on Jesus. From Sunday morning worship to business meetings to table fellowship and everything in between, it's all about Jesus. Who he is, what he taught, and what he has done. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. Among you. Let it dwell among you. Paul has in view the life of the church as a community, as a body, as a family. This is not just about individuals. So often we read the Bible and we think it's about me and my relationship to God, but the you here, it's plural. It's you all. It's, if Paul were in North Carolina, he'd say y'all. He's telling the church in Colossae to make their life together about Jesus. So again, this core value is about what we do together. It's about the DeRida Church family. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let it dwell richly. Dwell, that is, have a permanent place, richly, to have in abundance. Listen, sometimes we treat Jesus like our winter coat. When it's cold outside, we go in the closet, we get our winter coat, and we put it on because we feel like we have a need. And then when the weather is warm, what do? We put that coat into the closet until we feel like we have a need again. Paul says, don't treat Jesus like that. Don't treat Jesus and his word like your winter coat that you only pull out when you feel like you need, when life has grown cold and you feel like you need something from Jesus. He says, no. Let this message of Christ dwell, have a permanent place among you, and let it dwell richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among us richly. Paul then tells us how to live into this. He tells us to do this. Then he says, okay, so here's how you do it. He gives us three ways we can let the message of Christ dwell among us. The first way we've already mentioned, and it's teaching each other. This is not about teaching a class or being in the office of a teacher. It is about all of us regularly sharing with one another who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. It's about regularly sharing, encouraging, comforting, and building up one another with the gospel. For example, you see a brother or sister who is feeling down. You don't just pat them on the back and say, it's going to get better. I mean, that's not a bad thing to do, but as a believer, you got to do more. You don't just pat them on the back and say, well, it'll all get better somehow. No, you remind them, you teach them by reminding them that Jesus said he'll never leave them nor forsake them. You encourage them by reminding them that no matter what has them down that day, that Jesus has the victory over it. So they don't need to worry or fret. Right? So we teach one another, we encourage and build one another up by regularly sharing who Jesus is, what he taught, and what he has done. We teach one another. Second, Paul says, we live into this, letting the message of Christ dwell richly among us. We live into it by admonishing one another. Now there's a word we don't like very much. Admonish. To admonish means to counsel, warn, or correct. Yikes. We often shy away from admonishing people. Ever been in a relationship in which you felt like you just couldn't tell the truth? Right? Ever feel like, boy, I just can't really be myself. I can't tell you what I really think. Paul is saying to church, don't be like that. Be willing to admonish, to correct, to warn one another. We often shy away from admonishing people because we like being liked. We like being liked. And we don't want anyone to be angry or upset with us. And we certainly don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But at the same time, because we're walking in love, we don't want to just sit by and let a brother or sister walk a path that's going to take them off a cliff. And so we warn, we admonish, we correct them, not with our own wisdom, but with the wisdom that comes by the Holy Spirit through the message of Christ. For example, you see a brother or sister walking in anger and bitterness. They're just angry and bitter. In love, you correct them. In love, you remind them that Jesus has bled and died for the forgiveness of their sins and that Jesus taught us to forgive those who sin against us. Right? We teach and admonish one another. It's something we can all do. It just takes a little courage to step in that. It's a bit risky, but Paul says if you want to let the word, the message of Christ dwell among you richly, well, teach one another, share with one another, and admonish, correct one another. And then there's a third thing he says in the text, and this one, I have to admit, really surprised me as I studied this text. Paul tells us not only to teach and admonish, he tells us to sing. He says, if you want to let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, then sing. And he says, sing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Some translations say spiritual songs. And those are slightly different kinds of Christian music. Psalms primarily refer to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. The Psalms with the P are songs with an S that are about God. He says, sing psalms, the songs we find in the Old Testament. He also says, sing hymns. Hymns are songs that are not simply about God, they are to God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. That's a hymn that is to God. And he also says, sing songs from the Spirit, spiritual songs. And this refers to a practice in the early church and in some churches today of people who will sing a song that has Well, it's never been written or heard before. It's a song that in that moment is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And people just started singing. The Holy Spirit gave me a song and they just start singing. That's what Paul means by songs of the Spirit. And so he says, sing. If you want to let the message of Christ dwell in the church richly, he says, not only teach and admonish, but sing. Sing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, this teaching of Paul is absolutely astonishing because he's telling us that there are two dimensions to our congregational singing. The first dimension of congregational singing, you already know, and that is our singing is directed upward to the Lord. Our singing is directed upward toward the Lord. Our singing is about Him and it is for Him. When it comes to Christian worship, there is no such thing as a human audience. We have an audience of one, and it's the Lord Himself. If you're sitting in the pew, you're not the audience in reference to what's happening up here on the platform. We are all singing, going up to the audience of one, the Lord seated on the throne. So the first and primary dimension of our singing is upward. But what Paul is teaching us here is that our singing not only goes upward, it goes out. As you and I sing, as you and I praise the Lord in song, it not only goes up to Him, but it goes out to our brothers and sisters. Listen, listen, listen. Someone may come into worship on a Sunday morning, beaten and broken by life. They are discouraged and down. They are barely making it. They come in here on spiritual fumes. But by the working of the Holy Spirit, here's what Paul is teaching. But by the working of the Holy Spirit, your singing, inspired by who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, can encourage them and build them up. Your singing goes up to the Lord, but out to brothers and sisters to encourage and build up. And know this, that it is not about the quality of your voice. It's not about the quality of your voice. It's about the condition of your heart. When the real estate of your heart and mind are occupied by the gospel of Jesus, then your singing is saturated with the presence and power of Jesus. Oh, hear that again. When the real estate of your heart and mind are occupied by the gospel of Jesus, then your singing, no matter the quality of your voice, is saturated with the presence and power of Jesus, and therefore has the power to build up your brothers and sisters, even as you are honoring and praising the Lord. And so, Paul ends verse 16 by saying, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's the last words of the verse. Sing to God with gratitude in your heart. With gratitude. When you sing, sing with gratitude. Now, by gratitude, Paul does not mean gratitude for your house, for your car, for your clothes, for your food, etc. Now, you ought to be grateful for those things, but that's not what he's talking about. When he says, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts, he's talking about singing with gratitude for all that Jesus has done to save you. He's talking about singing with gratitude for your salvation. He's talking about singing because you understand what Jesus has done for you, that he left his throne in heaven to become a human being, that he suffered and bled and died for your reconciliation to the Father, that he rose from the dead for your eternal life, and that he's coming soon to recreate this creation, to restore the earth to paradise. I shared with our, our Bible study group this past Thursday night that one of the ways I get energized on Sunday morning is that when I'm driving here, after I've prayed, I think about this. I think about what Jesus has done for me. Like I have a cup of coffee usually on Sunday morning, but when I come, I'm not hyped up on caffeine. I'm energized by the message of Christ. I've just spent my 30-minute commute into Charlotte thinking about what God has done for me in Jesus Christ, and it is energizing. And so Paul says, let the word, the message of Christ dwell among you richly. How are we going to do that, Paul? By teaching one another, by admonishing one another, and by singing in such a way that it goes up to God and out to your brothers and sisters. Teaching, admonishing, and singing. We teach, we admonish, we sing as the overflow and expression of the message of Christ dwelling among us richly. Now you might be asking, why is this important? Why are you telling us? Why is this a core value for us? Here's why this is important. What Paul is talking about here, letting the message of Christ dwell richly. This is important because it creates an atmosphere among us. It creates a real deal, bona fide, it's truly the presence of the Lord atmosphere among us. Again, for the church that is richly indwelt by the message of Jesus is a church that is rich in the presence and power of Jesus. Listen, when people attend a church for the first time, regardless of the size of the church, and whether they are conscious of it or not, when people attend a church for the first time, they are seeking an encounter with the Lord. Churches the size of ours have been tricked. We've been tricked into thinking that it's all about the larger churches and we just don't have what it takes to impact the community around us. That is complete and total nonsense. Listen, if people outside the church only wanted a music experience, well, they can just put on some headphones and listen to whatever they like. If they only wanted a sermon or good Bible teaching, well, then they can go on the internet and find thousands of Bible teachers and preachers who would just leave me in the dust. Now, those things are important. Music and Bible teaching, preaching, those things are important, and every congregation, no matter the size, must seek to do them well and in a way that connects to the surrounding community. But there is something, hear me, Derrida Church, you got to get this. There is something that you can only get in the local church regardless of the size. There is something that you can't get from the internet. You can't get from watching a TV preacher. There's something you can only get from the local church, whether it's 20 people or 2,000 people. There's something you can only get from the local church. And that thing is the unique way Jesus is present in and with His church. Jesus has promised to be in and with His church in a way that is different from any organization, any group. And if people want that experience, it's got to be here. It's got to be in the local church. No one else can provide that for but us. And so again, this core value is important because the church, because people are seeking an encounter with Jesus, not just the excellence of our preaching or music or programming. They're seeking an encounter with Jesus. And because that is true, then this is important. Because the church that is richly indwelt by the message of Jesus is a church that is rich, no matter the size, rich in the presence and power of Jesus. Derrida Church, may the real estate of our hearts and minds be increasingly occupied by the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.